You know, I've been kind of sort of enjoying and not enjoying this fast of weeks we're doing, to be truthful. But it's been really good. I thank God for everything that he's doing, everything that he's up to. I've said things before, and I want you to get a hold of something. Everything always takes place in the spiritual before it manifests itself in the natural. Amen? And we as men and women of God, we have the natural and we have the spiritual. And I'm so excited that Jesus, that God would love us so much that he would write love letters to us. Amen? And so many times, and I've shared this several times because we've been in this series for the past few weeks. But these letters in Revelation are love letters to the churches. That God loves each and every one. That he has a plan in everyone's life. Amen? Amen? And there's no one too far gone for God. Amen? Sometimes I have to say something there, and that we don't get a hold of this religious words that come out. So many times in religion, things happen. As when I was a kid, there was nine children in our family, and one of the churches that my father pioneered, he got ran out of because of the children, because we were a little rowdy. We were raised in a godly home, but we were like a lot of cowboys and Indians when we came into the place. And they started making statements that the preacher's kids are the worst. And they started prophesying that over our lives. They started speaking that in our lives. And man, I got way on out there. Amen. I got about as far out there as you could get. Amen. But by God's grace and his mercy and his love, he drew me back. And you know what? I want you to know that a house of God is a place where you and I should have freedom. We want the church to be a place where the kids have freedom. We don't want to be so stiff and sticky that they don't feel comfortable and that they can't wait till they get old enough to leave. Amen? So we want to be a church and be a body of Christ that expresses the love of God. Amen? You know, when Jesus was ministering, he said, "Suffer not the little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." You know, so when we're in this atmosphere, when the kids are playing and they're having fun and we're worshiping God, I take that as an act of worship. Amen? I believe that God would want some of his children probably to loosen up a little bit too. Amen? Amen? Sometimes we get too stiff-necked. We become too religious. We become too formal that we can't really enjoy the things of God. We can't take pleasure in the things that God has provided for us. Amen? Didn't have anything to do with the message, but the Lord's saying it anyway. It does have something to do with the message because God wants you to hear that today. God wants you to know that you're of value to the kingdom of God. And no matter what someone has said or no matter what someone has done in your life, it hasn't stolen your value to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He says you are of great value. Amen? Amen? I think we need to get that in our hearts. Amen? And, you know, and not see what's wrong, but let's see what's right. Let's see people where God's taking them to, not necessarily where they're at. You know, when he found me, I was in the miry clay. Amen? I was in the muck. Amen? I was. Amen? You know, I was. And I'm not a has-been. I'm a has-im. You know, corny, huh? It comes freely.
Amen?
Amen? But, you know, we started talking about the churches and the love letters that Jesus was writing to the churches. And we started with the church of Ephesus, and we looked at a deeper revelation of love. You see, he was speaking to this church because they had left their first love. That it isn't that they stopped loving them, but they weren't loving them the way they used to. Man, I don't know about you, but I know the day that the Lord delivered me from my crack cocaine addiction and set me free. It was the greatest day of my life. Amen. I don't know about you, but that put a song in my heart. Amen. That put joy in my life. You know, I don't know who God has set free from something, but when the Son makes you free from something and delivers you from something, man, there's some rejoicing that takes place in your heart and your life. Amen. Amen. And so he said they left their first love. He told them to remember and repent and return and do the first work. And we talked about that greater, a deeper revelation of love. Then we talked about a deeper revelation, I believe it was of wealth, and it was the persecuted church. It was the church of Smyrna. You know, that this church had been through some battles. Sometimes they were at the bottom of the barrel. They seemed like they didn't have enough. But the Lord wanted them to understand that they were blessed. And God wants you to know, as a child of God, you're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You walk in favor of God. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand when we're going through things that we're blessed. But God wants you to know that you're blessed. That you're a son. That you're a daughter. And that you're kingdom children. You know, we talked about the Church of Pergamos, and the Church of Pergamos was the indulging church. We talked about a deeper revelation of truth. We talked about association, what we associate with, and apprehension and application was not to be a stumbling block in front of our brothers and our sisters. And we talked about the Church of Thyatira, and the Thyatira was a church of compromise. The prophetess Jezebel was teaching false. And we talked about seducing spirits and defiling spirits and idolatrous spirits. Then last week we talked about the church of Sardis. And Sardis was the dying church. They were asleep. And we talked about drinking some spiritual Starbucks. That's what it is. And spiritually waking up. And we talked about being alert and being active for the kingdom of God, and being aspired. In other words, have an ambition. You know, the Bible says without vision, people perish. So God wants us to catch a vision for our future. Amen? Amen? Amen. I see God doing some supernatural and some marvelous things through the church. I see God doing some supernatural and marvelous things through you. Amen? Through each and every one of us. God chooses to work through us, not around us. He uses, I don't like the word use, but he works through us. Amen? Then we're getting to the Church of Philadelphia, and of course everybody in the congregation knows that I'm a Philadelphia Eagle fan, and the reason I'm an Eagle fan is because they're the only team in the Bible, and hallelujah. And it doesn't have anything to do with that. Just don't get me wrong. The truth of the matter was, I was a Baltimore Colt fan, and they left town in the middle of the night, and Philadelphia was the closest team, so I became a Philadelphia fan. But this doesn't have anything to do with football. This has to do with love. You know, this church was known for its love. Amen. Yeah, Philadelphia, place of love. And, you know, when I look at this, I want you to open your Bibles with me a moment before we get in our text today to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for the Lord to get me plugged in. Yeah, you know how easy it is to get distracted, you know? First Corinthians 4, verse number 1, the Word of God says, let a man so count of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judgeth judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. You know, before we get into the word today, God didn't send anybody here to judge anyone. He says, judge not, lest you be judged. In other words, he tells us not to look at the speck in our brother's eye, to pull the plank out of our own. So as the word goes forth today, let me say this to you, that we're not looking at anybody. We're not speaking about anybody's sin. We're not speaking about anybody's position. We're preaching the word of God. And as the word goes forth, you can do what you want with it. It's between you and the Lord. I don't have to answer for what you do with the word. All I have to answer for is teaching you and preaching the truth. Amen. So as this word goes forth, and we're looking at this church of Philadelphia, and he's speaking about an open door. And when he's speaking about something open in the Webster's dictionary, open means unrestricted. In other words, if my airway was blocked and I opened it up, it would become unrestricted. If my arteries are clogged up and I get a stent in, it becomes unrestricted. If the door is open, it gives me it's unrestricted. It means that we could pass in, pass through. And what God wants to say to you and I and ask you and I today before we begin is, will you keep an open heart and an open mind to listen to what the Spirit has to say to you today? Will you allow it to be unrestricted? Will you allow it to be open to receive what the Lord has for you and I, his church, today? You know? And as we come into that agreement, as the word goes forth, it'll accomplish what he sent it to do. The word of God says it'll never return unto him void. Amen? So he has a plan in every heart and life. You know, he knew exactly every last one that would be here today. Amen? And he knew that you needed to hear what he had to say. Amen? So if we come in with that attitude, we'll say, okay, Lord, what do you have to say to me today? Can we get that attitude? What do you have to say to me today? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So with that in mind, let's go to Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to look at the Church of Philadelphia. And I'm not going to be long-winded today. We'll just let the Lord have his way. Amen. Every time I say that, I go double. I better not talk like that. But in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7, he said, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy and true. Recognize that God is holy and God is true. I want to stop there a moment. Before Christ, I was a rock and roller. I love rock music. Some of you are country, and country is the way you roll. Some of you are like soul, and soul is how you roll. Some of you like rap, and rap is how you tap. Corny, right? Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what? God's word said, be holy for I am holy. And now holiness is the way I roll. I'm a holy roller. I don't care who knows I'm a holy roller. I don't care I never minded if anybody said I was a rock and roller. It didn't bother me that somebody said, hey man, you're a rock and roller. That's cool, man. So why is it so much when somebody says to you, oh, you're going to that holy roller church, are you? Or you're in that holy roller. Yeah, that's the way we roll. Amen? Come on. Come on. We serve a holy God. We serve a holy God. That doesn't mean we're all out here rolling around the floor. I don't know. I didn't see anybody rolling around the floor this morning. That doesn't mean if God shows up, they won't roll around the floor. I don't know. If God comes in and says, Spirit, move in there and make them all roll, everybody's going to be rolling around the floor. You know, if God's glory shows up one day in the house, we all might be laid out prostate. So we walk in and call the ambulance. Rescue. There's a dead church here, and they're all laid out in the Spirit. Who knows what God might do?
Amen. That's right.
Amen. You know, when Solomon's temple, when the glory filled the house, they couldn't stand. Amen. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, it hasn't changed. The same glory that filled Solomon's temple is the same glory that can fill this house. It's the same glory that's filled your body. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So I'm not going to be ashamed that anybody knows that I'm a holy man. Now, does that mean that I'm really pure and holy? No. You know, I haven't arrived yet. I'm on a journey. Amen. But I'm you and I, as we're pressing into Jesus, we're being perfected in the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we do as children of God. We go from glory to glory. Amen. So don't be bothered if somebody calls you a holy roller. Just go. Yeah! Woo! You don't mean you don't have any problem shouting and screaming to hear when you get under the Holy Ghost? It's like, whoa! Hallelujah. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. Just be led by the Spirit. Don't want to shock and freak anybody out. Amen. I think the Spirit just wants you to know, don't be so sensitive about that. Amen. Man, we're rolling to a different sound now. We're rolling. You know, that's the way I used to roll. I'm not rolling that way anymore. I'm rolling to a new song. The Lord put a new song in my heart. He put a new song in my life. He put some joy unspeakable and a fullness of glory within me. Amen. I'm not happy by the things in the world, and I'm not satisfied by the things of the world. I'm satisfied by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the giver of my joy. Amen. And he gives 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 and he never runs out. You know, so it's an endless source. In other words, when we get connected to the conduit, we can do it. Conduit kid, corny. I'll get back in the text and let's go. Amen. Praise God. Do you hear what he's saying? He that hath the key to David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and he that shutteth and no man openeth. Verse 8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in my temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him a new name. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This morning we're going to focus on verse number 8. For today's message is, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. The title of this morning's message, with the help of the Lord, is A Deeper Revelation of Faithfulness. Of faithfulness. The three things I want to share with you is unrestricted authority, unrestricted access, and unrestricted advantages. Authority, access, and advantages. And I just do that so you can follow the word. Can we lift our words in the word in the house today, and can we make a declaration in the house of God? Repeat after me, say, I believe This is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have what God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're so grateful for what you sent it here to accomplish today. So, Lord, I pray that you speak through this vessel today. May you speak with clarity and understanding, Father God. May the body of believers be built up. May they be encouraged. May they be comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, all glory and honor and praise will be unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Now, this is week 6 of our fast. We're doing a fast of weeks. We're in week 6. Praise God. Amen. And the first thing he's talking about in this scripture in verse number 8, he says, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door." This speaks of unrestricted authority. Unrestricted authority. Verse number 7, Jesus said, "He that have the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." In other words, when he is speaking of this unrestricted authority, he is the giver, okay? And he has the power, and he speaks about the key to David. Now, when you look at King David and you see King David in the Old Testament, King David was the king that was king priest. He operated as king, and he operated as priest also. And when you look at kingdom authority and you see a king, the king has the right to let whosoever come in or send whosoever he wants to go out. So we're speaking about this keys that would be upon his shoulders. The shoulders is in Isaiah 9:6. The Bible says about Jesus that the government would be upon his shoulders. And in Isaiah 22:22, it says, "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open." So we find this has been established. This was prophesied about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the giver of the keys. No one comes to the Father but by the Son, and no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws them. So we're looking at Jesus is the key to the kingdom. And when Jesus spoke to his church in Matthew 16, well, how do I have this authority? What we're talking about is this church in Philadelphia was the model church. This is the model church. This is the church that was Christ's commendation. He'd have no condemnation to say to this church. This church was functioning. This church was ministering. This church was showing love, ministering in love. This church was winning souls. This church was discipling. This church was growing. This church was ministering. And so as we're looking at this church, it's built on a revelation, and it's built on a foundation, which is Christ Jesus. Now, as we're walking as children, men and women of authority, God wants you to understand that you have authority. Amen? And Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, the Bible says, "And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Just recognize that one thing, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So our authority comes through Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar, meaning son. Jonah, meaning dad. His dad's name was Jonah. This isn't Jonah and the whale. This is Bar, son. Peter's daddy's name was Jonah. Bar, son of Jonah. So you understand. You probably have a different version than mine. For flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, this revelation came from heaven that he's speaking of. He said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock was the what? This was the revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto these the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we find that as a child of God, as revelation of who Christ is, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. This revelation is what is the key to your authority. Amen? If we do not have revelation of authority, we're going to be stepped over all the time by the adversary. In other words, Jesus wants you and I to have revelation of who we are and the authority that's been given to you and I. He said, whatever we bind on earth, we'll be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, we'll be loose in heaven. Jesus taught him how to pray. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we're not just waiting for Christ to come to take authority. God has already empowered you and I as men and women under authority. You know, when I was thinking about that, and I'm going to just paraphrase just for time, in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, there's the account of a Roman centurion that came to Jesus because his servant was sick with the palsy. The palsy was a paralytic disease. His son was bedridden. Amen? He was bedridden and he was paralyzed. He couldn't get up. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus said, well, I'll come to your house and heal your servant. And the Roman centurion said, well, my house is not worthy for you to come under the roof of. He said, but I'm a man of authority. When I tell my soldiers to go, they go. When I tell my soldiers to come, they come. When I tell them to do this, they do whatever I ask them to. And he recognized Jesus as a man of authority. Jesus looked at those that were following him and said, I have not seen such great faith, no, not in all of Israel. And he said, let it be done unto you. In the self same hour, the servant was healed. And I want you to understand that when Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, when he said, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth, when he said, go ye therefore, there was a transfer of authority. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all these things I've commanded thee, and lo, I'm with you, and even to the end of the world. And the Lord showed me something. The other day when I was running in the park, he told me that scripture, and he said, all power has been given you in heaven and earth. Now go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said that you're to baptize them with water because he baptizes them in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so he says to us that he gave us a command to follow his example, to baptize and to take authority. To take authority. And here's what the Lord was speaking to my heart about. Go with me to Luke 15. The Lord wants to speak to somebody here just for a moment. In Luke 15, we have the account of a father that had two sons. And one of the sons asked the father for his inheritance. And the Bible says the son took his father, his inheritance, and went out and wasted it on riotous living. He blew it all. And he found himself in the bottom of the barrel. He found himself in a pigsty. And revelation came to him that the servants in his father's house were better off than he was. And so he went back with intents to go to the father and just to be one of the lowly servants in his house. And when the father saw the son coming, the father ran to his son, wrapped his arms around him and loved on him, told his servants to bring him the best robe, the signet ring, and the shoes for his feet, and to kill the fatted calf, because they were going to have a party, because his son was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's been found. In other words, he brought him, you and I, through Christ Jesus, have a robe of righteousness. We're covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The signet ring represented authority toward the kingdom of God. His feet were shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I want you to hear something. The devil, when you've drifted away, when you walked away from the call of God that's on your life, God says the call, his call is irrevocable. It does not change. He said he restored that son right back to the place where he left. When he came back, he had the robe. He had the ring. He had the shoes. In other words, what God is saying is you don't have to earn or work your way back up. God called you. When you repent and turn to the Lord, you walk right back where you left and you start running again. Amen. So many times people think, well, man, I messed up. God can't use me. Can't do anything through me anymore because I didn't do what he wanted me to do. Right. And he knew exactly what you were going to do. And he hasn't changed his mind. He just said, get them shoes back on. Let's get back in the race. Amen. 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 He didn't call him a servant. He called him, you're a son. You're a daughter. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, there isn't anybody in this house that hasn't messed up. And if you say that you haven't messed up, you're a liar and the truth isn't in you. Amen. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. 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 And all of a sudden, you're walking around, and the adversary is trying to make you feel unworthy. Well, the truth of the matter was, we never were worthy. We had the worthiness of Jesus Christ, not our own. I've got his righteousness, not mine. The Bible says my righteousness is like filthy rags. I got the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? You've got the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He says, pick up where you left off and keep going. Amen. That's right. Amen. 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 In other words, God wants you to understand that you have unrestricted authority. Well, Pastor, man, well, I did this and I did that and, I did this. Well, guess what? I might have not done what you've done, but I've done something else. God doesn't sit there with this sin gauge. Let me measure that one. Oh, that one's a 7. That was a 10 on the scale. Amen. I'm not pardoning sin or excusing sin. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says, should I continue in sin? I'm dead to sin. I shouldn't sin. Grace has came into my life to help me from not sinning when I allow grace to abound in my life. But I got to allow it to abound. Grace will push that stuff out of your life. Amen. Amen. You know, when we're talking about we're talking about fasting and the Lord reveals and shows stuff that God has a plan in lives, man. Amen. And what's holding so many back is they messed up because they messed up, the adversary wants to take away their value. Your value, or your great value. Your kingdom children. You're valuable. You're jewels for the kingdom of God. Amen. You know, so when that old adversary comes in talking about your stuff and trying to bring that condemnation on you, just remind them where he's going and where you're going. I'm going to heaven. Amen. I've got my eyes. I've got eyes on the prize. Amen. God wants you to understand that when he says he has an open door, it's unrestricted authority, unrestricted for the child of God. But it's by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. We must believe God by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we're looking to see everything, we don't need faith. Amen? But we're walking by faith, not by sight. So he's given us unrestricted authority. He also says, I put before you an open door, and no man shut it, because thou hast little strength. And when I looked at this, God has given you and I an open door policy. Amen? An open door policy, unrestricted access. Unrestricted access. You know what he says? I was looking at that. He says, for thou hast little strength. And when I looked at that and I started meditating upon it, some commentaries and expositors say that it's because they were small, they were little, they were working, they were getting worn out, they had little strength left. But the Lord said to me this. He said, when I open a door, no man can shut it. When I shut one, no man can open it. He wants you to know outside of him that you have little strength. But through him, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. In other words, we got to hold on to the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it's about Christ and it's about the kingdom, or else our head gets in the way. Our head gets in the way. And then all of a sudden we start trying to push open doors that God didn't open. And when we're trying to do it in our own strength, we don't have the strength to do it. Amen? Because when God opens the door, there's unrestricted access. Amen? And when I look at the open door to you and I look at first is an open door for salvation. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse number 7, the word of God says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. We have access. We have unrestricted access through Jesus for salvation. Amen? Amen? We have unrestricted access to go right into the throne of God. To the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Christ, of Jesus, by a new and living way, which is he have consecrated for us through the veil, which is to say his flesh. And in 4:16 of Hebrews, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So we have access. We have access to salvation. We have access to the throne of God. When we go to the throne of God, we also have access. There's an open door to share the gospel. Paul said, matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 9, he said, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. You know? In other words, we have an open door for salvation to whosoever will. We have an open door to the throne of God. We have an open door to take the gospel out, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. So he's talking about unrestricted. We go. We get saved, we go to the throne, and we share the gospel with others. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's all by grace. We're justified by faith. We're justified by faith and we have peace with God. Amen? We shouldn't be afraid to go to the presence of God. See, this is a church, Philadelphia was a church that were operating. They recognized that they had an open door. They recognized that they had authority. They recognized that they had access in and out. You know? In other words, if we take in something to somebody, we ought to go to the throne first and then go out. A lot of times we go out, and then when we get messed up, we try to go to the throne. But if we would get it in order, that he's given us access to go right into the very presence of God. Amen. Church feels sleepy today. Hello? I just feel that everybody's tired. All right, come on. I'm trying to break the spirit of slumber, because the Holy Spirit wants to speak to lives, and what's happening is the sower of tares is trying to speak slumber or something in your heart and life. He's trying to make you think that, hey, man, this is kind of boring. It ain't boring. It's God's word. This is life. He's come to give us the life and the abundance thereof. Amen? He wants to fill our hearts with joy. Amen? Because the joy of the Lord's our strength. Amen? The joy of the Lord's our strength. Amen? You know, and we look at circumstances and situations and things that happen in our life, and we get so caught up in those things. God wants to equip us to face everything that we're going to go through. He always prepares you. Amen? We serve a good God. Amen? I was sharing with Quentin the other day. My car had broke down, and I had some work done on my car, and it was more expensive than I was expecting. That's normal for everybody, right? And so I was walking from the house up to the garage up the street, the Kleins, and I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you know, you see this, and man, there's more than I was expecting, and blah, blah, and I want to keep a good attitude. I want to go in there, and I don't want to have a bad attitude and trying to get myself all pumped up so when I go in there, I don't speak what I was feeling. You know, I want to be transparent with the guy, but I want to be operated in love and be gentle and kind. And as I was walking up through there, and I said, Lord, it'd be all right if you just... let me find $100 bill. And I said, Lord, you'll give me desires of my heart. And I started looking, and I walked up, looked all the way down the ditches, and I was walking all along there. You know, I kept looking for that $100 bill because I was asking the Lord, I believe that he'll give you what you ask. And I was looking there, I didn't see it. And I went out there and had to have a good attitude because I didn't get my $100. But at the same time, I thanked him anyway. I thought, probably didn't thank him like I should. But then I went back over to West Virginia, and I walked in the door, and somebody handed me $100. And see, I was asking God for it to come one way, and he brought it another way. And that's what he wants you to get a hold of today, that you've been expecting something from him, and you've been looking in one direction. He's going to blow your socks off because he's going to come in a way that you thought not. You know, in other words, let's believe God at what he says. That he'll do everything that he said he'll do. Maybe not in your time. Maybe not in your way. But he'll do. All the promises in him, all the promises in him are what? Yes and amen. Not hope so, maybe so, perhaps. But they're yes and amen. And God wants you and I to hold on to the promises that he's made to you and I. He is speaking to the church. He is speaking to the church of all ages. And he is saying, I've given you an open door. I've given you unrestricted authority. I shut every door behind you. I've given you access. You have access. In other words, some of you are trying to open up doors that God's already shut behind you. If God wanted you in that place, he wouldn't have shut the door. He's opening a new door. God never shuts one door that he doesn't open another. Amen?
Amen.
No problem. Amen. The word didn't chase her out. She's got to go to work. Amen. Thanks for being here. Hallelujah. Should have been a little short winded. God wants you to get a hold of that. Some of you have been waiting and you've been holding on and you've been waiting for something you haven't seen. He says, don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Amen. And he said that he's opened the door. They had open authority or unrestricted authority. And let me get this thing shut down here. Unrestricted authority. Unrestricted access, and there's unrestricted advantages, man. I'm in the advantage program. I'm in the favor of God program. Amen. Serving the kingdom of God has advantages. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 51. One of my greatest advantages I have as a child of God, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. I don't know about you. That speaks a lot to me. I've seen a lot of people that are afraid of death. Have a fear of death. For a child of God, we're not to fear death. We'll never see death. Jesus said, John 11, 25 and 26, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth me shall never die. Amen. That's quite an advantage, isn't it? Amen. I don't know about you, but that's an asset, is it not? Is it not that we have the advantage to never see death? One day I may die before the trumpet sounds, but I won't see it. You might see it. My body, the Bible says, be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Amen. So he's telling you and I, we have an advantage. Not only that, we have advantage while we're living. The advantage is we're never alone. He said in John 14, verse number 23, he says, if a man love me and will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Amen. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are there with us. Amen. He was saying to this church, I have put a place before you an open door that no man can shut, even though you have little strength. You have kept my words. You have kept my words. And last thing he says, and you have not denied my name. You have not denied my name. And let me say this to you. It's easy to stand in this room and confess Jesus. But what Jesus is talking about is confessing him out there. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 32, He said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You know, when I was looking at this, and he's given us this open door. He's given us unrestricted authority. He's given us unrestricted access. He's given us unrestricted advantages as a child of God. See, in closing today, in John 15, verse number 5, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So in closing today, what is the Lord saying to you and I, his church? Just as the Lord has given you and I an open door to authority, an open door of access, an open door of advantages for you and I. He says in Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. See, he's given us an open door. But what happens is, so many times, the door of our heart isn't open. And he comes and he gently knocks at the door. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. You see, Jesus is not going to force himself on anyone. He only comes in by invitation. So the question today is, as he's knocking on your heart's door, will you open it and allow him to fully come in? So many times we take him and we receive him as our Savior, but will we allow him to be Lord of our lives? Will we place a throne in our heart and put him as the head of our hearts and our lives? See, that's what was taking place at this church. See, it was working both ways. They had an open heaven and they had an open heart. Praise God. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And we're so grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to the house to do. Father, your word declares that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today,